Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. I'm here with my good friend Samuel Baker, a professor at University of South Alabama. And we'll be talking today, because it's Christmas time, about meaning of the name, especially Christian name. And the thing we really hear all the time, my name, your name, everyone else's name, how powerful is to have name at all. So welcome, Samuel.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I think that this is certainly a good time to talk about the name, because most people receive their names when they're born. Mm-hmm. And of course, Christmas is the time when Jesus is born, and so he receives his name then. But I think maybe one of the first things to think about when you think about a name, any name in general, is that to have a name is something good. It's good to have a name. And it may be helpful to see this by hearing the story. So I know a missionary, and I heard her speak once, and she was in Africa, and she was walking in a village, and she met a woman and asked her name. And the woman said, "I have no name."
Mm.
And I think that you can see that that's a kind of tragedy. It's a tragedy not to have a name. You know, part of what's going on is that to not have a name is, in a way, not to have a community, you know, not to have a family. When you're part of a family, you have a name. You know, when you're part of a community, you have a name. And so I think that that's the first thing to know, is that it's just good to have a name. You know, it's sad not to have a name. And I think that maybe another way to appreciate this is that we like to hear our names. Mm. You know, it's good when people like call us by our names, not "Hey, you," or whatever it is.
When they remember your name.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, when they remember. And then when they don't remember your name, well, that can hurt a little bit. And so this is just to emphasize that, you know, it's good to have a name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just good. This is any name.
Okay. So, what about the Christian name? How significant it is to have a Christian name?
Sure. You know, it's interesting that the Catechism talks about having a Christian name, and what's interesting is that this occurs in its discussion of the second commandment. So, respecting the name of the Lord.
Yeah,
God's name. And of course, when people receive a Christian name, they receive it in the church. And so I said earlier that when you receive a name, that's because you're part of a community, you know, you're part of a family. And when you receive a Christian name, you receive it as being part of the community of God, the people of God. You know, you're a child of God now. And you take on the name of God in baptism. So you're baptized.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah, in their name. So you're taking on their name. And this is a name that demands reverence. You know, this is demands a deep reverence. And you know, to take on a Christian name, you know, to receive a name, so the Catechism suggests that you should be given the name, either the name of a saint, so some exemplary disciple of the Lord, or it can also be a Christian mystery, a Christian virtue. It at least shouldn't be foreign to Christian sentiment, it says.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that, you know, this is something special. You have a new identity now. You're not just part of a biological community. You're not part of a nation, you know, some nation state, something like that.
Or just human race.
Yeah, or just the human race. And you're not just an animal. You know, animals don't give each other names. You know, other non-rational animals, obviously.
We give them the names.
We give them names, but they didn't give themselves names. You know, it's interesting that I'm, you know, when you give an animal a name, I think that you benefit that animal. You know, it's something good that you're doing. Anyway, we're getting diverted. So we shouldn't do this. But the point is that the Christian name, you're receiving it in a community, and you have a new identity now, which is you're a child of God, and that's what, you know, receiving this Christian name entails.
Mm-hmm.
Is this new identity.
for me, it strengthens the our dignity as a humans made on God's image. Then receiving the name into the community, we are made part of the adopted children of God. It's like our dignity is lifted. Belong something even more important than just humans. We are in God's image. We are His beloved children. It gives me really nice context of my existence. That it's something really bigger than me. And as Christmas time, God falls in love with us. He comes become one of us, and He give us His love to help us in our existence. And we just belong to this community. And it really makes me kind of feel more happy seeing the context of my existence as a child of God, and that because my name reminds me about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, sometimes it's helpful to think about things in different contexts, but you can imagine, you know, I wish I could come up with a specific example to express this, but I can't quite do it. But, you know, someone, let's say, like, you know, there's some child that is actually royalty, mm-hmm. but they don't know it. You know, they're in some land. They don't actually know what the name, say, they were given at birth is, something like this. And you can, you know, and they grow up, you can imagine what would occur to them, you know. Say they didn't grow up in the best circumstances. They don't have a lot of self-respect, whatever. But when they know, like, hold up. Say someone tells them what their name is, you know, mm-hmm. like, can you imagine how powerful that would be? Like, to know what their identity is and to, like, know this name. It would be so powerful because they have this new identity, a new name. And I think that there's something similar like that with, I mean, it should be even bigger, of course. It's more important to be a child of God than it is to be a king, you know, on this earth. And I think that this is a revelation that, you know, it's something that can just grow in your heart, you know, to know what this new name is, what it really means to be a child of God and to be baptized into His name and to live life, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. It helps me a lot to see the meaning of my name. When I first time learned that Matthew means God's gift, I really kind of think, well, first, my life is a God's gift, and also my life is destined to be a gift for others. And it helped me to challenge myself to live as a God's gift to others, to be this gift for others. And then my middle name is Christopher, the one who carries Christ, the patron of drivers, and which helps too. But just helps me to see that I am also called to carry Christ to others. As a priest, but also as a Christian, to be for others' help. And sometimes it's difficult, and I can really feel the struggle of St. Christopher, you know, carrying the Christ on his shoulder through the strong river, that it can be difficult. So his presence, his name helps me in my life. And then just St. Paul, as my confirmation name, a great missionary. And his presence, his example, his zeal helps me in my life to see that, you know, I have somebody who really prays for me, who was on the mission. I am sent to be on the mission, and I relate to him. His presence, his example of life helps me in my life. So I see that discovering for me the meaning of my name, given by my parents, chosen with the help of the Holy Spirit for confirmation, helps me to see how God see me in my life, and help me to see my vocation, my virtue of Christian, and help me in my daily life to live as a son of, yeah, adopted son of God.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I think that the names that Christian parents can give to their kids can be a real blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as the catechism, you know, suggests, they should be careful, you know, about mm-hmm. the names they give. It shouldn't be something that just given very little thought, you know, and I think that you even mentioned me as well, that, you know, they should pray about it. You know, it should be something that's, because you can really, you know, play a role in, you know, mm-hmm. God's plan for that person, you know, the mission they have, something like that.
Which we very see very clearly in the Jewish tradition, that the name brings the mission of that person. Most of the names which written in the Bible, they are described of special context of the people's lives and what they were doing. And Moses, Abraham, Isaac, their names were showing that their names were given by God because it described what they would be doing in their lives.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes the names aren't, it's not really clear, you know, until much later, you know, what that name, why they had that name. So, for example, you know, Peter, you know, of course, is a rock, and Jesus, you know, seems to imply that it's pretty important, you know, he was named Rock, you know, he's the rock on which the church is built.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that, you know, there's certainly evidence. The Catechism doesn't seem to talk about this aspect of names so much, but there's certainly a lot of evidence in Scripture that names have a lot of power. They can be intimately connected to that person. And sometimes, of course, people get renamed. You know, their first name that they were given isn't quite the name that they should have had. So, of course, Paul, I mean, you know, was initially had a different name. And so that can also be the case if, you know, you're not raised Christian, you know. That can be very important, you know, when you're confirmed or baptized, you know, to take on a different name. So yeah, there's a to change topic a little bit. We've been sort of going through the Catechism on the Christian name, and so if you want to read these passages, you should definitely look it up. But at 2158, you read that God calls each one by name. Everyone's name is sacred. The name is the icon of the person. It demands respect as a sign of the dignity of the one who bears it. Certainly, it's a very powerful line. This was definitely something very new to me when I read it. I'm a convert, of course, and so... much of the Catechism was new to me, but the idea of thinking about everyone's name as sacred, you know, each person, of course, is made in the image of God, and each person demands respect just because they're a human being. And the name, you know, they identify here that, you know, each one, of course, is calling everyone by name, and the name is the icon of the person. There's a way in which a name is much more special than just a general description of that person, you know, the person sitting in this room with me right now, or, you know, the professor of philosophy, assistant professor, not full professor yet, at the University of South Alabama. You know, the name is somehow picking out you, you know, and there's a way in which, you know, the Catechism is saying that this too just demands respect. And this was definitely a revelation for me. And kind of the one thing that I thought about was the first thing that came to mind, which will be probably a little controversial.
Why not?
Is Obamacare. I don't think that at first, certainly the people who use the name Obamacare is they're trying to denigrate Obama's name by, you know, connecting it to what they thought was a catastrophic, you know, health policy, the Affordable Care Act. Now, of course, even Obama, you know, calls it Obamacare as what was a way of just sort of, you know, trying to use what's already been, you know, used against him. But, and of course, you know, other people have done other things called, you know, abomination, things like that. And I think that, there's a lot of hesitancy that one should have in doing things like that. Certainly, if you have the motivation to just denigrate someone's name, that doesn't seem right. I mean, for you are certainly free to disagree with people and to say that they've done things wrong, but if the Catechism is correct here, that each person's name demands respect insofar as it is the icon of that person, then you should be respecting their name. And, you know, denigrating it in some way just isn't right.
So something very interesting in the Catechism says that the gift of a name belongs to the order of trust and intimacy. What do you think, Samuel?
This line occurs actually when the Catechism is discussing the name of the Lord. And so basically what this line is sort of conveying is that it's a privilege that God has shared his name with us. And I think that, you know, we can already see that there is something, there's an aspect of trust and intimacy when someone shares their name because, you know, in a lot of places, you know, you wouldn't share your first name,
people
you know,
don't
with
say
someone.
It to your
first yeah, name. You know, they wouldn't necessarily say it. It's more like people who are intimate with you who would share your first
Quite
name.
Quite closer relationship, not just being hello on the street. You don't say it to everyone.
Yeah, and I think that we maybe can also appreciate the intimacy aspect by noting that, well, it seems that we not only, you know, like to hear our own names, but it's a pleasure to say the names of people that we love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a pleasure to say. I mean, maybe not all the time, you know, like because people always annoy you sometimes. But you know, like in general, you take pleasure in saying the name of people that you love. You know, it just gives pleasure to you, and so I think that there is. There should be an aspect of that too. You know, it's not only should we, you know, be grateful that God has shared his name with us and that, you know, Jesus also has a name that we know. He has, of course, he has multiple names and Emmanuel is one of those names.
You mentioned the French song that...
Yeah. No, so actually, no, I was in a parish of the Community of Emmanuel, which is a very popular community in Paris. When I was living in Paris for 6 months, and one of the songs is Ton Nom Emmanuel, which is Your Name Emmanuel, and one of the lines says Ton Nom Emmanuel est du miel sur nos lèvres, which means Your Name Emmanuel is honey on our lips. You know, and Emmanuel means God with us, and I think that they're getting it right. You know, like I mean. I would like for that to be more honey on my lips, you know. And I think that, you know, the Catechism also quotes Newman, where he talks about religious feeling and that there are really feelings that are appropriate to God's name. And, of course, there are also feelings that are appropriate to, you know, the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, these other names, name of St. Joseph, other saints. And I think that, you know, this is part of the, you know, journey, you know, of being a Christian is like learning how to have the right effective responses, you know, to God's name and the many names that he has and of course, the names of the saints as well.
Which is really amazing that God reveals himself to us through the names, his different names that describe who he is for us. Like, I am who am I. It's like it's the core of his identity that he's the existence. He exists.
Yeah, no, well, Thomas Aquinas notes that what's the most, you know, one of the questions in the catechism, the Summa Theologica, I confuse the two sometimes, is... what's the most appropriate name of God? And it is, in Latin, so it's like qui est, but, you know, he who is. And that's because God, unique, you know, he is identical to his existence. You know, he's a simple being. And so...
So it is something beautiful that as we can say somebody's beloved name, and it brings nice feelings and reflects intimacy between people. So God's name also is given to us to strengthen our intimacy with him. It meant to be consolation and strength for us. Just the Jesus name, Jesus prayer. We can repeat Jesus' name, just keep repeating it and find the consolation, strength in his presence. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, and just pray, just using his name. or Emmanuel, God with us. It's so much when we can just pray using Adonai, Elohim. Just different names are given to us to help us bring His presence and the aspects of His presence to our lives. For me, it's something beautiful that God gives us so much on our journey. If we would just pay more attention to those things that seems to be so obvious and almost forgotten.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that we can grow in both in our appreciation and, you know, we're not just intellectual beings, we also have feelings, you know, and we can know the name better when we have the right feelings for it as well. And so I think that, yeah, it's something that we can definitely grow in.
In time of trouble, it can be really support.
Absolutely. And the Catechism also says somewhere, I don't really know the reference, that, you know, a lot of people have died with the name of Jesus on their lips. Mm. And
that's
if you're going to say anything when you're dying, that's one of the best things to
Jesus'
say.
Name. Let's talk about the really unique idea present in the scripture, white stone. The name as a white stone. Let me read for you the 2159 paragraph. The name one receives is a name for eternity. In the kingdom, the mysterious and unique character of each person marked with God's name will shine forth in splendor. The book of Revelation says, "To him who conquers, I will give a white stone with a new name written on the stone which no one knows except him who receives it. Then I looked, and lo, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads." Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
So, what is the white stone, brother?
Yeah, this is a great passage. I love this passage. I'm gonna read it one more time. So, "To him who conquers, I will give a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except him who receives it." Now, this new name seems to be one that only the person knows, them and God, of course, since God is the one giving it to them, in eternity. Now, the Catechism also draws a connection between, so it says that the mysterious and unique character of each person marked with God's name, you know, will shine forth. So I take it that there is this tight connection between God's name and this new name that you receive in eternity, precisely because in this beatific vision, you know, this perfect happiness that we get when we know God. So this perfect happiness is going to be knowing God, just as Jesus said, you know, to know God. But it's in knowing God that we will finally know ourselves.
Mm.
You know, I think that it's true that, you know, it's interesting that, you know, kind of when we're teenagers, we kind of had this, we feel alienated or whatever.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, whatever, you know, everyone's a teenager, but there's a sense in which there's something you get there, which is that we don't really know ourselves.
Mm.
You know, I don't fully fit here. You know, I don't fit in this family fully. You know, I kind of do, you know.
Yeah.
I don't fully fit here. You know, I don't fully fit anywhere. And, you know, I don't even fully know myself. But what I take it this passage is to letting us know is that to the people who overcome, you know, who keep the faith, and charity, they'll know God, and then finally, in knowing God, they'll finally know themselves
mm-hmm.
as well. And this is unique as well, because each person is unique.
So someday we will know what is God's name written in us, the white stone on our foreheads. Like our names we have now, they partially describe the white stone, that our uniqueness. But the complete identity of us, we will know when we see God face to face, because then we will see Him. And seeing Him, He will reveal to us our name, like the core of our uniqueness.
Yeah, no, there's something, you know, we're made for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we exist for the sake of God. And so, you know, we can't really, you know, it's like, you know, sort of like if having a key without a lock or something, you don't know what it is until like you finally see the connection. And that's not the great, you know. Mm-hmm. But the point is that one doesn't really make sense. Of course, God makes sense without us, but we don't make sense without him. And so, like, you know, we'll finally understand, you know, why do we have like all these different things that happen, you know, that make up me? You know, I mean, I tend to think also that the catechism suggests that, you know, though we will all have knowledge of God, because of God's, you know, unfathomable and inexhaustible nature, we'll also be able to appreciate God in a unique way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that my uniqueness is going to be able to, and you'll be able to appreciate something else. And, you know, I think it also, because it says it's going to shine forth in splendor, there is an implication that we might be able to even share, you know, this unique knowledge with others
something
as well.
Beautiful.
And yeah, it's just a beautiful passage.
It makes me want to get sooner to heaven so I can understand, like, just the vision of being able to understand my existence, all the questions I have, all not understanding everything in the world, that seeing God, I will understand everything, all what he wants me to understand, and I'll have to find the completion of my existence before him. It's like, I want it.
Yeah, you know, I think there's something, the sort of flip side of that is that it's kind of a relief to know that we don't fully know ourselves, you know, and we don't fully fit here, you know, but that's okay, you know, like, it's like when you have this promise and this hope, like, it puts that feeling in a different light and, like, helps you even recognize it. You kind of forget it, you know, like, oh, that was, you know, being a teenager or whatever, but, you know, it's not, you know, there's something true about it.
Is. Okay, we have one more thing. On the joyful note, we have for you quiz at the end. We'll hear the gospel, this passage at the Vigil Mass coming Thursday. So this is what we want to see. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named his Jesus. This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1:24-25. The questions for you is, which some already observed, that the angel prophet calls to name Jesus Emmanuel, and Joseph wake up, takes care of Mary, and he calls him Jesus. So why we have this, call him Emmanuel, and he calls him Jesus, and everything is okay? So looking for you for some explanations, maybe you have some insights. For me, it looks like the scribe who was, he made some, you know, copy and paste of the scriptures, and he was retired, and he just put a, he will call him Emmanuel, and he named him Jesus.
Could be his middle name.
Middle.
No, he could have, sorry.
Jesus has
many. That's one option. So we already had that option on the table. You have to come up with another one.
So looking for more insight, why he's called to be called Emmanuel and Joseph call him Jesus.
Yeah.
You can call the parish with your answer. It's 251-471-2449, and just tell that this is the for the quiz with the father, and you can send us email. It's on the website. Looking for some interesting answers. For the best answer, we'll draw a prize, a Christmas reward for good insight. Thank you so much to all of you who are listening us so patiently. Thank you, Samuel.
Pleasure.
All those names. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
May Jesus' name be our consolation, our strength. God bless you all.